Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I even get started today, I'm just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just put your hand on my tongue today, Lord, and give me the words you want to be brought out. Lord, I have many, many verses, but today I want to rely on you to focus on the ones you want me to use, Lord. Just bring out what you want brought out in this message and let us put it to our lives and use our lives to serve you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So, if you're here because you knew I preached last week and you didn't want to listen to me, that's fine. Guess what? You get to listen to me this week again. Sorry about it. Matt called me Thursday night and asked if I could preach, and I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. And I said, is everything okay? And he said, yeah. He said, they're going to put me on 7 days a week for the next couple weeks. And he was distraught. And he said, I hate it. He said, I told the guy, you don't need a mechanic on Sundays, do you? And then proceeded to, the guy said, well, I'll check into it. And we all know how that was going to go because Matt's got to be there if the equipment's running. But that was pretty cool. And then, so I texted Julie with some passages and everything that I wanted to use Friday. She said, well, you're not preaching. I said, I think I am. So then I called Matt back and said, am I still preaching? He said, yeah. I said, okay. So anyway, here I am. And I'm doing a series on the Always God. And the first message was, God is always speaking. The second message, God is always listening. Today, God is always seeing. Now, some of us, as we get older, me, you know, 3 years ago, I didn't have any glasses. I had 20/20 vision. Went to the doctor one day and he said, man, you can't see anything, can you? I said, no, I see fine. I just got these glasses this week, and I didn't realize how much I didn't see in my old prescription. Weird. I'm pretty sure I still have 20/20 vision. But you know who does have 20/20 vision? Our God. He sees everything that goes on. And as I'm driving this week and got my new glasses, and it's amazing when I look in the distance, I can see God's beauty much better. Because I never noticed that there was that many different colors of orange on the tree. You know, I just knew they were orange. I mean, I'm telling you, there's 10 different shades of orange. So that's pretty cool. But then I thought about this message and I said, God is always seeing. What does that really mean? And, you know, I instantly went to, man, God always sees how I act. But he loves me anyway. He always sees my thoughts. He always sees my prayers. He always sees my situations. And he loves me anyway. His vision is perfect. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when he sees me, you know what he sees? His son. And that white that he covered me with, and he covered all my sins. And that's pretty cool. So I'm going to start off with a little story. This is written by a mother. It says, I called for the kids to come inside and get cleaned up for dinner. They ignored me as if I wasn't standing on the porch. I called several times and huffed a sigh. A moment later, my husband pulled up to the house. The kids immediately gravitated towards him, clamoring for attention. I felt invisible at that moment. No one cared that I kept a clean home, cleaned the dishes in the sink, or paired what seemed like a million socks. Suddenly, being a mom wasn't all it was cracked up to be. At that moment, though, I sensed God whisper to my spirit, daughter, I see you. It blew my mind. Doesn't God have better things to do, like keeping world peace, than talking to a mom in the middle of the Midlands about how he sees me matching socks? And do you ever feel that way? Do you question whether or not God sees you or sees everything you do? So I thought that was a pretty good reminder. And listen, I can feel where he comes from, because Chris does virtually everything for me in the house. And last night we had a campfire, and I, because I was too lazy to put other shoes on, I slid some flip-flops on, and I walked through the yard because out in the wood pile there was a little nest of mice, and Chris was getting some wood and she couldn't handle it. So I had to take my clean flip-flops and walk through the yard to get the wood. And then I decided I had to go inside. So I didn't think about there being, because I mowed the yard yesterday, I didn't think about there being fresh grass on the bottom of my flip-flops. Walked through the kitchen, walked up the stairs, walked to the bedroom, went to the bathroom, turn around, come out, and I see patches of grass on the whole yard, or on the whole carpet. And I thought, you know, Chris hasn't seen this. She doesn't need to see it. So I'm on my hands and knees. The dogs are right there licking around everything I'm doing. I'm picking up grass. I'm pretty sure I had all the grass cleaned up. And about 9:30, we come in the house, and Chris goes upstairs, and she says, "I see you wore your grassy flip-flops up here. One blade of grass left on the carpet." She saw it. Yeah, that's my wife. She's next to God, I think she sees the most out of anybody. Okay. But that's how God looks at our lives. He sees every detail. He sees every future detail. And he loves us anyway. So that's pretty cool. Our main passage today, we're going to be in 1 Peter. And we're going to be in chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 6. You know, the first part of that chapter talks about the elders of the flock, talks to the elders of the flock, and talks to if we're younger, how we should submit ourselves to our elders. And you know, it's funny because we talked about that today in Sunday school. And you talk about a bummed out group. They get Les and Matt to teach Sunday school. When I walk in, they're like, "Oh gosh, no Matt, no Les today." But we talked about this submitting yourselves to the elders. And Tim says, "I always say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. If I hold a door open for somebody and they thank me, I say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir." And Becky said, "When this house in Burlington," Burlington had probably the comeback of the year, he said, you know, Becky said, "Well, I don't always... Burlington and me don't have an argument. I can't get him to argue with me," and blah, 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 blah. And Burlington says, "No, but I always get the last word." And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And he says, "Yes, ma'am." And I thought, you know, that is seeing the situation. So, 1 Peter, then we're going to move into verse 6. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So as we start into this, you know, the one thing I take from that is it doesn't say our enemy sees. It says your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone. Guys, that devil doesn't always see us. He's looking for us. The difference is God always sees us. He knows where we're at. He knows when we need a little word of encouragement. He knows when we need that little tap on our shoulder. Say, man, I got this. The devil doesn't know that because he's looking for us. He's not seeing us. He doesn't have that relationship with us that our Lord and Savior have. So that was pretty cool. But how do we continue and how do we see God? We resist the devil standing firm in the faith. And when I think about faith, I go back to one of my favorite all-time movies, Charlie and the Santa Claus. And it says, you know, and that how you just, and that's kind of how I'm going to define faith is believing, or seeing is believing, but believing is not always seeing. We don't have to see God today to believe that He exists. Right? We don't have to see the devil at work today to know that He is at work today. Our God is greater. Our God is greater, and He will defeat. But I want you to notice also why our faith is so important. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And if you were in Sunday school today, you know that we talked about what, Tim? What else? Community. Tim fails. I'm teasing. He was paying attention. He was actually participating in the conversation. He was leading the charge. But community, that family of believers, we need to understand that God sees us all throughout the world. He doesn't just focus on Morrow County or Open Arms Christian Church or Matt's household. He sees all. You know, kind of like when you see the different colors on the trees. You see everything. God is like that 24/7, 365. I can't imagine how big our God is. And then verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after all you have suffered a little while, will restore Himself, or Himself will Himself restore you. Notice it doesn't say, I'm going to restore myself to my eternal life. I have very little to do with it. Because I am a sinner. But it is our God who sees, hears, and speaks all things into life that's going to decide my eternity. Alright, let's move on. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses that talks about God seeing today. And I'm not going to talk about one bigger than the other, probably. But let's go to Psalms 14. And it's verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all of mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Guys, I want you to take from this is he's not searching for perfection. He's not looking to see perfection. He is looking for those who seek God. He'll provide the perfection. He provided the perfection. He wants us to seek God. And that is who he's looking for. He is not looking for somebody to be the next Billy Graham. He's looking for somebody to go up and put their faith in him and get up and speak in front of two people. He's more interested in the process that we have in our heart than what we look like to the world. He don't care what we look like to the world. And we shouldn't care what we look like to the world. But we do. Because we only see half the picture. We only see our worldly view of what's going on. We don't see the godly view of what's going on. Because when God looks at me, I'm perfect. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. Just ask Chris. She'll tell you. Psalm 34. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. So guys, here's what there is no black and white, or there is no gray. There is no gray with our God. And I've argued gray for a long time. Because I think there's gray in a lot of stuff that I do, and there shouldn't be. And you know, I've said for many years, my wife is black or white. She's smarter than I am. Because I want to wiggle over that gray. And it's pretty simple here. Pretty simple. 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to our cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from this earth. Guys, you got to understand, if we are evil, God don't want anything to do with us. But here's the difference. He sent his son to die on the cross to cover that business. Because again, when God looks at me, even though I'm a dummy, he sees his son through me. That's pretty cool. We're going to go clear back to Genesis. But put your thumb in Psalms because we're coming back to Psalms. We're going to clear back to Genesis. Shout out to my tech guy. He keyed all these in, but our machine shut off, Alan. Huh? Oh, there it is. Genesis 28. Poor Alan, I gave these to him about 10 minutes before 9. He got them all keyed in. Kudos. Genesis 28, verse 15. And this is all times that God just, you know, he's talking to Jacob here in a dream and, verse 15 says, I am with you and will watch over wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Guys, God is alive today. God is alive today. God is alive today in Morrow County. God is alive today in Ohio. God is alive today in the United States. God is alive today in the world. And He remains faithful to what He promised to us. He said, I will not leave you until I have fulfilled my promise. We've heard the Great Commission. Our job as a church family is to get the Word of God to all corners of the world. So our job, God's vision is not done yet. He sees everything going on, but He is not done yet. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with any of us yet. Thank goodness. And He will not leave us until His vision is fulfilled. And by leave us, I mean He's going to go to the heavens and He's going to open them clouds and say, come on. Come on. And that's going to be a pretty cool day. Pretty cool day. That's in the very first book of the Bible, guys. And it's recounted many times. Let's go back to Psalms 32. This is quite possibly one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's one that we can live by. It's one that we can raise our children by. It's one that we can go to work every day by. Verse 8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Guys, even when we're being, and I can relate this to kids. You know, do we discipline our kids out of sheer anger? I hope not. Sometimes I have, probably. I don't know, the girls will be able to tell you better. But we discipline our children out of sheer love for them and wanting what's best for them. God does the same thing for us. But what I want you to take is, He will counsel you with my loving eye on you. His eye is on us all the time. Do you know what kind of vision God has? I don't know, it's better than 2020, right? Can you imagine, and this is the weird things that go through my mind, like I can imagine being up on that cross and just a little piece of wood up there on the cross, but I'm looking down and seeing everything that goes on in the world. I cannot fathom how you can do that. How can He know what's going on in my life and what's going on in somebody's life in West Africa? That is just how powerful and how big and how good a vision and how much sight our God has. Guys, if you take nothing else out of this message, I want you to understand how big your God is, our God is. He can see everything going on in this world. Most importantly, He says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Guys, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve His loving eye all the time. Probably don't deserve it at all. But we get it all the time. And I know I'm hammering that home, but I firmly believe that we need to understand, because so many times what happens is we think our God's not watching because we're not good enough. We think our God isn't seeing what's going on in our lives and pulling us out of it because we're not good enough. First of all, you're right. We're not good enough. There's a little thing called grace. And it's God's grace. That's why he has his loving eye on us. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he has done. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. We've already talked about this. I'm not going to beat it. I just wanted to point it out. What a great verse. Deuteronomy 32. Back into the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Verse 30, or chapter 32, verse 10. Again, this is in the early part of the Bible. This is back in the days of Moses. And we know what Moses was able to accomplish through God. Verse 10, it says, "In a desert land he found him. In a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye." What's that say? It says, guys, no matter what situation you're in, God is shielding you and guiding you. Is anybody here in a situation that they think there's no way that God is in? There's no way that God is in. I am down on my luck. I'm down on my health is not good. I don't have any money. I don't, whatever it is. God is still there shielding us. It could be worse if his hand's not there. So we go back to, we want to be joyous in our trials. Because it could be worse. God could not be there. But it says that he's shielding us and he is taking care of us. He found me in a barren and howling waste. That's a pretty powerful state. Barren, the best, you know, definition I have for barren is, just look, I mean, Lindsay's, anybody that's been over Iraq and in the desert's probably seen it, and just nothing but sand, barren, no trees. I mean, I know sometimes there are, but just barren. Just, and the howling waves would be the sandstorms that blew up. Can you imagine standing in the middle of the desert and having a sandstorm hit you? You got nowhere to hide. You can't go anywhere. You can't find shelter. That's the state that God says, I'm going to protect you from. I'm going to protect you through. Not from. I'm going to protect you through that state. So if he can protect me through that state, he can protect me through anything I'm going to face as a Christian man. Deuteronomy 11. I'll get there. I'm getting there. I promise. Verse 12. We're going to go to verse 11. "But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from the heavens." Verse 12. "It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end." Guys, that's a promise he made to people, the Israelites he was delivering He was saying, hey, this land, people, stay with me. I know you're dealing with some hardships. I know you don't know where you're eating, what you're eating for your next meal. I know you got to see in front of you an army behind you. Stay with me because we're going to this land. And it's a land that I take care of. Guys, that's our promise. We're going to a land that He takes care of. But what do? We get stuck complaining about the current state of our situation. We're no different than those Israelites. And I gotta be honest, if I was those Israelites, man, I'd probably complain too. I'd have been hungry. I'd have been thirsty. I'd be scared to death because I got the Egyptian army behind me. And I got this sea in front of me. But guys, do we not understand how far they had already come? They were in slavery for 400 years. He delivered them out of that. You know, we make a deal about the Passover. They painted blood on their doorsteps so that when the plagues hit, it didn't affect them. You mean our God's that big? Yes. Yes. Our God is that big. We sell Him short because of our little bit of faith. But yeah, what did he say? A faith as big as a mustard seed can do. With Him, we can move mountains. Guys, what the pity we feel right now and the whatever we feel for our situations right now is going to pale in comparison when we go to a land that He takes. Can you really imagine walking into heaven? I'm a Buckeye fan, and I saw something on Facebook that had this cat dressed up in this Buckeye shirt. You know, and it was kind of funny because it said how the Buckeyes are walking in now after beating whoever they beat yesterday, Maryland. And it had this cat just leaning back and just strutting in like that, you know, and I was like, kind of weird. Guys, that's the way we're going to walk into heaven. And not because we won a game, but because our God has taken care of that land. And He's delivered us through this land. And that's pretty cool. All right, last one here. Well, I got two verses. Psalm 121. And it's verse 8. And you can read the whole, all these Psalms and Proverbs. I challenge you to read the whole thing because you're going to get more out of it than what I can give you in 40 minutes. We've heard this. I'm going to actually read verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 8. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I know I ought to be singing that, but I'm not. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Guys, you understand that? Our God does not sleep. Even when we're sleeping, He stays awake and watches over us. The Lord, verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a great psalm. and I probably should have ended there. I didn't. Yeah, I'm going to. Because that is what we're after. Guys, that's what I want you to take. When we lift our eyes to Him, we can see how great He is. And He watches over everything. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't get hungry and walk away to the fridge. He watches over us 24/7, 365, forevermore. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. So, how can we come to church and be bah humbug? Because we do. I'm guilty of that. There's some Sundays when I don't want to get up there and preach. I'm definitely not going to get up there and jump around and you know, do all that. And I saw some other things this week on whatever that how we should worship, how we should praise Him. It made me feel pretty guilty because I don't praise God like I should. Guys, He is watching over us now, yesterday, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years in the future, if that's how long He wants to watch, forevermore. And the beauty of that is, we get to go, when our life here on earth ends, we get to go live with a God that doesn't eat, doesn't sleep, only worries about us. We are His focus. We are what He does, what He does for. I want you to understand how big our God is. Way bigger than me. Way bigger than my little problems. Way bigger than little problems we have in Morrow County or we have in Ohio or we have in the United States. I won't say those are little problems, but in the big scheme of things, those are little problems. Because God can take it all away. Done. He created the heavens and the earth. He can handle any problem that exists. And He is watching over you every day forevermore. We need to be excited. And we need to live our lives like we're a child of God. I want to pray. Dear Lord, I just come before You. And Lord, I'm in awe of just how big, how powerful, and how loving You are. The fact that You look at me every single day of my life and You love me anyway, Lord. And that You're caring for the land where I'm going right now. I know that it's going to be a beautiful place. Lord, we've dealt with death. We've dealt with a lot. But I want us to understand, Lord, just how big You are. You are in control of every aspect of our lives. Lord, I love You for that. I praise You for that. And I give You all the glory. In Your name I pray. Amen. So today, Jesse and I will be here. If you need prayers, we'd love to pray with you. If you need have praises, we'd love to hear those as well. Guys, there's a lot.